The General Services Administration has an emerging new vision for its federal acquisition service, and that could affect every federal agency that buys anything. In the next 6 weeks, GSA will launch the first set of initiatives under what officials call category management. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins us with details on something called the Hallways Project. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so category management is giving way to something called hallways. Tell us what's going on and what those words mean.
Sure. Now, category management is something that GSA actually launched back in that April time frame. So it's a relatively new concept to this idea of how federal acquisitions hopefully going to work in the future, according to GSA. And yesterday, they added, if you will, a little more meat to that bone of category management. Now, through that concept, GSA hopes that to really become the one-stop shop for every agency's procurement needs. Now, this is not, and I'm going to stress this, not an attempt by GSA to go back to the 1980s when it was the mandatory source for procurement. I think that was under, the Brooks Act or something? Help me out there, Tom.
Yes, it was under the Brooks Act, and Jack Brooks has gone to his great eternal reward now for several years.
So the idea here is to help understand that right now the way agencies do acquisition for the most part is it's very siloed. It's very agency specific. There's a lot of duplication and there's a ton of data that is out there that no one ever sees or uses to make better decisions. And that's what GSA wants to do is really set up a centralized place for contracting officers from any agency to find all that data that's out there and to find samples of statements of work, for instance, and especially they'll be there to get help in procuring goods and services from the best sources. And this is important, too. GSA has said whether the best sources are GSA or they're not GSA, they want to make sure everything's available in those hallways. Tom Sharp is the commissioner of the Federal Acquisition Service. He says agencies are struggling with hiring acquisition workers, budgets are going to continue to shrink, and therefore that's why GSA is actually expanding their services to meet all the government's contracting needs. Sharp describes GSA's three goals from a panel discussion yesterday in Washington sponsored by a firm. They are to offer unbiased advice, to help write better contracts, and to offer what he calls a full spectrum of services to meet every level of need across the government. Category management now is the first of four initiatives, and those hallways that we mentioned is where contracting officers and program managers can find all this information, all this data, and they're going to kick it off in the next 6 weeks, Sharp says.
We're going to bring three live by September 30th. Where the three are going to be office supplies, IT hardware, IT software, and hot on the heels of that in the first quarter, professional services. Mid next year, the full complement of the 17. Don't be surprised if the number changes. For example, DOD puts them in different groupings. We'll get to a common grouping. But again, underneath this product service code, you can bundle them up, bundle them down, put them in as many buckets as you like.
Now, you heard Tom Sharp say 17 in all, so there's going to be 17 hallways. In fact, the first five we've talked about previously, I had a comment, I think, at end of July, my Inside the Reporter's Notebook piece, and they include technology and HR and almost all the kind of a lot of the back office functions. And then GSA is also going to get to that common grouping by working with other agencies and industry, really to make sure that they're hitting how to bring together these functional areas as best as possible.
Jason, so therefore a hallway is like a data warehouse or a source of data that they're calling a hallway?
Almost. It's kind of a place where you go that everything you need is in one place. So for instance, think about, if you think about you as you walk down the hallway of your house, on one side there's some bedrooms and the other side there's a bathroom. Maybe you enter that hallway from your living room. That idea is that there's everything you need is right there in front of you and each door opens something else. So each one door could be data, another door could be sample RFPs, another door could be assisted acquisition services, but it's all going to be there in front of you so you can just walk down and get what you need.
Because about 10 years ago, GSA had the idea of malls, and now I guess it's halls. So what else are they trying to do to get this one-stop shopping idea going for acquisition?
Right, so part of the announcement yesterday was Sharp expanded on his plan to create this new view of FAS. Obviously, we've heard before about the Common Acquisition Platform, and today or yesterday he offered more on his plans to modernize FAS's business model and expand the services it offers. As part of this business modernization effort, Sharp announced a major change to the type of contracts that could be used under the multiple award schedules. Now, this is something vendors have been calling for over the years.
We're introducing additional flexibilities. In the interest of transparency, I want to acknowledge that they know there are issues surrounding mass for many years that I think we should address once and for all, namely the issue of utter direct costs and cost reimbursable contracting. We recognize that both of these flexibilities are in high demand by our industry partners and our customers, and that sometimes it results in having to turn to other solutions. We are addressing this by seeking FAR and GSAR rules that will enable ODCs to be included in mass contracts, and we'll see what happens in the rulemaking.
Now, obviously, the FAR rule is the FAR Council. The GSAR is the General Services Administration's acquisition regulation. So each agency has their own version of the FAR, if you will, that kind of deviates a little bit. Now, other direct costs are really a way for firms to charge the government unforeseen costs. Now, this is not indirect costs, so like people or overhead, but really when we did this project for you, we didn't realize that this cost would also be involved. And right now, under the schedules contracts, you can only do certain types of contracts, and other direct costs is not the type you can do.
So they're going to allow other direct costs onto the multiple award schedule?
Correct. That's what Tom Sharp's goal is to do. That's why he's to go through the FAR and the GSAR.
So just to diverge for a second then, that could really complicate the multiple award schedule, where the gestalt for all these years has been for agencies to get the best possible price that a company offers anybody in the world is the price for the MAS.
Right, and I think part of the reason why they're doing this is because of these deviations that agencies are starting to sign out. Like the Defense Department, our colleague Jared Serbu broke a big story about a month ago regarding a FAR deviation that DOD signed out. And I think Tom Sharp has seen the handwriting on the wall to a certain extent. And on top of that, I think vendors have been calling for ODCs for almost a decade. If you remember, Tom, the Services Reform Panel that came out back in 2004, they said this was a major shortcomings of the schedule that needs to be updated. And I think Tom Sharp basically is listening to his customers.
All right. So he's also talking about a new assisted acquisition service. Tell us about that one.
Absolutely. Now, this is obviously GSA already offers assisted acquisition service, but this is going to be even more services, more value, as Tom Sharp says. He's going to offer agencies, agency customers, as little or as much help as they want, including, and I think this is fascinating, taking over all acquisition services. Now, in fact, Sharp says FAS already is in a pilot with one agency. I caught up with him yesterday after the panel to ask him more about that pilot.
I won't use the agency name, but we have started a dialogue around their interest in having FAST perform their procurement. And we're starting with a pilot of, forget if it's five or six contracts we're doing as a pilot to test that. And so far, so good. But we are interested in helping customers, whether they want us to help them do something, give them advice on how to do something, or actually do it for them. And that can be as broad as outsourcing of their procurement shop if they elect that. I'm open to doing that.
Once the pilot's done, what happens? Do you then look back at it and go, okay, can we offer this as a service or make tweaks? Do you have any kind of time frame around your idea of when maybe potentially you could offer this as a shared service to more and more agencies?
Well, we're offering it now. Call it a pilot, but we're offering it. I would hope in the instance of the agency we're doing the pilot with, that if we successfully perform the pilot, and we are, that we would ask, we'd be interested in doing more for you. Would you like us to do more for you?
Now, all of these efforts, all of these initiatives really is about adding more value to GSA services so agencies can get what they want, get it efficiently, and get it as the best price possible.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Now, over the years, agencies haven't been all that excited and motivated to use GSA as their contracting option. I'm suspecting this is a small agency that's doing this. I'm sure it's not like Homeland Security. So why does Tom Sharp believe this is going to be different this time?
Right. I think you're absolutely right in the fact that a lot of agencies have been using GSA. Their numbers have been going up, but there are always all these other contracts that pop up, whether it's Eagle over at DHS or First Source, or, Treasury has TIPS and Justice has this one and Commerce has that one, NOAA Link. But I think what's different here, and this is what Sharp believes, is that there's a confluence of issues that are really pushing agencies in this direction of really leaning on GSA. First, budget reductions. We talked about that a little bit. But, when you think about it, whether sequestration comes back in, I think, 2016 or not, and continues along, agencies we know will have less money to spend. Sharp says if they can save money by outsourcing some or all of their acquisition to GSA, they can take some of that money that they're saving and put it toward mission areas. The second reason that this is different is I think the treasure trove of data that's now widely available to really show the value that GSA brings. Kevin Yule Page is GSA's Assistant Commissioner for the Common Acquisition Platform. He describes several tools to give agencies data to make better decisions.
We're calling it the TurboFAR. And the idea is just like TurboTax takes a very complicated tax code and makes it simple by asking you, did you buy a house? Did you get married? Did you have children? Those are tax-triggering events. Similarly, we have triggering events in the FAR. You know, how big is the procurement? What kind of procurement is it? Services, product? And we believe that over time we can evolve, and we plan to evolve, the capability to help our acquisition staff through some of the expert decision support fed by experts in policy shops, differentiating based on local policy, but in the end, pointing people toward the shared services that already exist, pointing people toward the acquisition vehicles that already are awarded to support the kind of requirements that someone coming brand new to the space may not be aware of, and giving them the help that they may not get without years of training. And so we're hoping to build that into the way they experience the process going forward.
Now, Sharp adds other tools may include something like a Yelp for contracting officers, where they can rate or rank or comment on vendors or tools or services, and others can use that information to make better decisions. The one area that didn't come up yesterday, which I thought was fascinating at this panel discussion, which included people such as Mary Davey and Jim Galone and Amanda Fredrickson that was all on this panel at a firm, was the idea of the GSA's fee structure. Now, the fee structure, you know, can be as low as 0.75% for the use of the schedules, as high as 2% or more for some blanket purchase agreements, but agencies feel like they're spending a ton of money with GSA to use their services, and they feel like that's money going out of their pocket, yet they don't recognize that creating and running their own contracts are just as costly, if not more costly, to do that than to use another agency's contract. So I did ask Sharp about how he's trying to convince agencies that using GSA schedules and contracts is indeed less expensive than running their own contracts.
We have made the case, we can prove the case, that doing work under the multiple award schedule can be up to 50% faster to raise an order than doing an open market. Agencies think about taking some costs out. They pay their contracting staff, we pay our contracting staff. We're required by statute to recover. We're morally obliged to be efficient. And what we're going to do with the available enterprise contracts, we're going to put them in the hallway so they're not in the dark, and agencies can see the prices and the terms and the other best practices and all the available contracts in the light of the hallway.
Dan Tangerlini, when he went before Congress for his confirmation for GSA Administrator, one of his questions for the record talked about looking at the fee structure. Has there been any look from your end, from FAS's point of view, on the fee structure yet?
The big thing we're focused on, and Dan has led this, is to reduce our overhead. We have consolidated our HR functions. We have consolidated our finance functions. We have consolidated our IT functions so they're more efficient, and thereby the overhead comes down, and thereby it sets the stage to reconsider fees.
Now, FAS definitely has a steep hill to climb here, whether it's we're talking about fee structures or just getting agencies to change their culture around creating and running their own multiple award contracts. I think over the years, as we've seen and we've written about and talked about on the air, is that there's been a lot of this I want to own. Like, you know, Tom, it's like the idea of hugging your data center. You got to hug your servers. Agencies, I think, still like to hug their contracts. And very similar to the way the cloud has really taken agencies out of that need to hug their servers, GSA hopes that their hallways, their category management, their value-added services is really going to move agencies away from having to hug their contracts and understand that there are other things that can be done. And, you know, the hallways, the common acquisition platform, the modernization of schedules, the value-added services are all really at a level that really can bring that huge hill just down a little bit more, and that's what GSA hopes. Agencies will use their services more and more as we, you know, look out over the next 12, 18, even 24 months.
Of course, you could say, you know, some contracting officers at other agencies consider themselves to be fully functional professionals and might want to continue working for that agency because they figure they're as good as anyone at GSA.
Well, I think the difference is not so much that a contracting officer would lose their job or even this whole idea of outsourcing. You're right, it's not going to happen at large agencies because there's still very mission-specific contracting that GSA maybe will not do. But for a lot of the common contracting, a lot of the back office stuff, a lot of the stuff that everybody buys, I think that's where GSA believes it can really make its mark. And if you think about it, I mean, you know, how many airplanes does the DOD buy each year? How many ships does the Coast Guard buy each year? Really, they're buying IT, they're buying pens and pencils, they're buying management support services. I mean, that's where a lot of the money is going, maybe not by percentage of dollars, but at least percentage of contract actions.
All right, Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thanks, as always, for that full report.
My pleasure.